Want to follow along with today's sermon? Now you can. Download the YouVersion Bible app, click events, and search for Crossroads Church. This app is complete with scripture, points, notes, and next steps that go along with today's sermon. No more rewinding to find the verse or point. Everything is now in the palm of your hand. Thanks for listening. Here's the message.
If you're here today for the very first time, we celebrate that you're here. We've got quite a few visitors in the house today. We've got someone, actually a family all the way from England in service with us today. Welcome. We've got a new friend of mine that sits in service the last month from South Africa. We've got a family from Texas today. Service with us. And we got multiple families from CB. Got some from Carter Lake. Some from Omaha. Bellevue. Sure about Papillion today. Glenwood, thank you. Did I forget any city? No. California? Wow. Welcome. I want to introduce myself to those of you that are visiting. My name is Joseph. I serve as lead pastor here at Crossroads. We're starting a brand new 6-week sermon series today titled Becoming. Everyone say Becoming. As a child, there was a person we all dreamed of becoming. Some of us dreamed of becoming the next MJ, Michael Jordan. Or maybe for you it was MJ, Michael Jackson. Hopefully it wasn't OJ. Or maybe for you ladies, you dreamed of becoming the next Julia Roberts or Taylor Swift. You probably dreamed of becoming a doctor, lawyer, nurse, firefighter, policeman, teacher, mother. Or maybe you dreamed even bigger and dreamed of becoming a superhero, fairy princess, Batman, Superman, or Barbie. But how many of you did not become who you dreamed of becoming at 8 years old? Let me see your hands. Many of us. Is there a person that you would like to become today? A better you? A more confident, committed, a stronger you? But listen, we're not talking about becoming a person that you're not called to be or you're not supposed to be. We're not talking about going somewhere where God hasn't called you to go. We're not going there. We're talking about being the person that God created you to become, not someone else. You, God's version, right? God's version. See, there's a version of Joseph that I desired to become. But then one day I woke up and God's version became my desire. Is there a version you're not living out today that God wants you to become? Becoming the Joseph or the Tammy that God uniquely designed, created, and fashioned in His image. See, the Bible says in Genesis chapter 1, verse 27, that you and I are created in the image of God. And in the image of God, we were created. In Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10, Paul says that you and I are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works. Works that God planned for you to do long before you were even born. There's a person that God wants you to become, Max. There's a person that God has called you to become, ma'am. In fact, there's a person that God has created all of us in this room to become. A person that's growing, a person that's becoming. Are you becoming that person? In this series, we're going to talk about becoming the person that God created us to become. And through this series, we're going to take some steps together to becoming like Christ. After all, being a Christian is to become more and more and more and more like Christ, right? But becoming a Christian doesn't happen overnight. It's not an overnight process. It's a daily process. It's steps we take. We become like Christ. It's not a one-time prayer that you prayed at an altar. It's not a one-time decision you made one day. It's an everyday decision. It's steps that we take. It's not we gave our hearts to Jesus one day at an altar or at camp, teenagers, and bam! Hocus pocus, abracadabra. And we're Christ-like. That's not the way it works. It's steps we take. One after the other. And we grow here. And we grow there. It's like getting from here to there. We have to take the necessary steps. But for me right now, I've got to jump. Sometimes we have to jump hurdles. We have to climb walls. We have to climb ropes. We have to become. It doesn't happen overnight. The title of today's message is Growing Up, Going Up. Everyone say, grow up. Now turn to your neighbor and say, grow up, neighbor. That felt good, didn't it? You probably want to say it again. Right? Okay, pretend you're looking in the mirror and say it again. Grow up. Doesn't feel so good, does it? How many of you have ever been told to grow up by someone? How many of you guys have been told by your wives daily, grow up, dude? Come on. Maybe you need to. When I was 8 years old, I played with G.I. Joe action figures by day. But by night, I laid down to Teddy Ruxpin. Or if I was honest, a glow worm. But that's when I was 8 years old. How funny or ridiculous would it be for you to walk into my office and catch me playing G.I. Joe? No one is half the battle. Or me laying down at night to a glow worm. First off, Tammy would get a little jealous. Maybe a little freaked out. And the rest of you would say, grow up, dude. You're too old for that. But see, the Bible says the same thing to us Christians. Grow up, dude. We're supposed to grow up in Christ. We're supposed to move along in this race. But see, God doesn't say it rudely, as I was saying. He doesn't say it in a judgmental tone. It's more of a plea from God our Father. Because our Father wants us to grow as Christians. And the Father wants you and I to become more and more and more like Christ every single day. It's becoming. It's growing up in Christ. I want to start in Philippians chapter 3. If you have your Bibles, let's go to Philippians chapter 3, and I'm going to start in verse 10. This is Paul speaking. And Paul says, I want to know Christ. Yes. To know the power of His resurrection and participate in His sufferings, becoming like Him. Everyone circle, highlight, becoming like Him. This is the theme of this entire series, becoming. It's becoming like Christ. In His death, and somehow attaining to the resurrection from the dead, not that I have already obtained all of this or have already become, but I press on. Everyone say, I press on. Verse 13, brethren, I do not regard myself as having laid hold of it yet, but one thing I do, forgetting what lies below me, and I reach up to what lies ahead. I press on toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of Christ Jesus, my Lord and Savior. We could say amen and go home. Father, we thank You for this service. God, for this word, becoming. God, I pray that each and every one of us would become more and more like You. And that, Father, we would hear You loud and clear this morning. You would speak to our hearts, our minds, exactly where we are, God. And we would hear the Father's gentle voice, the love of the Father. It's not chastisement, it's not rebuke this morning, it's more of a gentle plea. And the Father wants us all to become. God, I pray that every heart would be touched, every life would be ministered to, and God, that we would see salvations take place today in this service because of Your word. Anoint this vessel. Speak through this vessel. And open up every heart and every mind. We thank You and we honor You. And we say, amen. Amen. This series is about becoming more and more and more like Christ. But in order to become like Christ, we have to first become. Become what? Some might ask. Become a Christian. Become saved. Paul said, I want to know Christ. And I want to know the power of His resurrection. And I believe Paul would say today, I want you and you and you and you and everyone in this room to know Christ. And to know the power of His resurrection. And I believe He would say, I want everyone to meet this Jesus that I'm speaking of. If you're a Christian, there was a day, there was a moment you met Jesus. And if you know Jesus, you know the power of His resurrection. The power that brought you from death to life. The power that pulled you out of the muck and the mire and made you into a brand new creation in Christ Jesus. That power that resurrected your past. And that power that many people and CB don't know, that power that many people go without daily, that power that we all need, the power of Christ to resurrect. See, we can't assume that everyone in this room today knows about this power. We can't assume that everyone in the room today is a Christian. In fact, I assume there's some of you here today that aren't Christians yet. And I assume there's some of you here that haven't met Jesus yet. But let me say this, you're exactly where God wants you to be. And as a church, we thank God that you're here. In fact, we celebrate that you're here with us today. Point number one, write this down. Salvation is the first step in becoming. I said, salvation is your first step and becoming. We have to start with salvation. And salvation simply means to be saved from the penalty of your sin. Or as Jesus said in John chapter 3, verse 3, to be born again. How can a man be born again? Must he enter into his mother's womb a second time and be born? No. Born of the Spirit, Jesus said. We must be born again. Salvation is receiving Christ into our hearts. Being born again in Christ. It's being forgiven from the penalty of our sins. Salvation is the first step in becoming. I want to share a few scriptures on salvation. I'm going to say them rather rapidly, so you might want to write them down. John 3:16, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in Him would not perish but have everlasting life. Romans 5:8, God demonstrated His love for us while we were sinners. He died for us. How? Romans 6:23, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Christ Jesus our Lord. Acts 4:12, salvation is found in no other name but in the name of Jesus Christ. Praise God, hallelujah. We serve Christ. Have you asked Christ into your heart? Then that verse should excite you. Romans 10:9, if you confess with your mouth that Jesus Christ is Lord, and you believe in your heart that God raised Him from the dead, you shall be saved. We all know someone who needs to meet Jesus. We all know someone who needs to be saved. Maybe it's your spouse this morning. Maybe it's your mom, your dad, your brother, your sister. Maybe it's a classmate, teenagers. Maybe it's a best friend. We all know someone that needs to meet Jesus. As a church, we desperately want CB to know Jesus. We want the people of this city to meet Jesus. We want them to know the power of His resurrection. And we want our city to experience this resurrection power of Jesus. But in order for that person, your friend, your mom, your spouse, in order for our city to meet Jesus, we have to introduce them. We can't just expect Jesus to fall out of the sky and introduce Himself. Hello, my name is. By the way, I came to save you. Knuckle bump, don't leave me hanging, bro. We have to introduce them to Jesus. That's the only way it works. We have a part to play. When you and I play our part, and when Jesus shows up and plays His part, and let me say, He always plays His part. And when that person plays their part and believes, salvation takes place. The Bible says in Luke chapter 15, verse 10, that the angels in heaven throw a great big party when one sinner is saved. One person comes to Christ, the angels throw a party. What if I told you last week before service, someone was saved before service? They gave their heart to Jesus. What if I told you that four people gave their heart in the service last week to Christ and became a new creation in Christ? What if I told you that one person gave their heart to Jesus before service today? What if I told you we had three spontaneous baptisms this week? And we babbed someone in Lake Manawa, and we baptized someone in a pool. Two of them, teenagers, that are sitting in the balcony. Do we celebrate like the angels? Do we throw a great big party like the angels? That'd be stronger. Good job. Good job. I put some extra tape on it. She's really strong, I promise. Throughout the world, for the most part, we celebrate the birth of a baby. We have gender reveal parties. We have baby showers. And then when the baby is finally born, when that day comes, we all gather around at the hospital and the baby is delivered by a stork, right? If you're a child and you want to know more about how a baby is born, go home and ask Dad. He'll tell you all about it. Today. Setting you dads up. But we welcome this new baby into the world. Why? It's new life. Something to celebrate. Tammy and I have celebrated birth 4 times. We celebrate new life in the physical. We celebrate new life in the spiritual. Why? Because it's something to celebrate. When someone comes home, when someone gives their heart or their life to Christ, it's something to celebrate. In January, we set a goal as a church to see 500 salvations this year. 500 souls meeting Christ at Crossroads. 500 people crossing over from death to life. 500 people accepting Christ into their hearts. So far this year, we've seen almost 100 salvations. That's something to celebrate. Because every salvation is important to God. But I want you to know we're not stopping at 100. I said our goal was 500. That just means we need to work a little harder. That means we need to get more serious about reaching the lost and reaching the city. That means we need to be more creative in our approach. And we're not just believing God for 500 souls in Council Bluffs this year. We're proclaiming 500 souls will be saved in CB in 2016. So let's make point number 2 a proclamation. In 2016, 500 souls will be saved through Crossroads. Mark my words. I'm standing on faith. That's how faith works. But I'm telling you, I'm not just saying that to pump you up. I'm not just believing that. I know, and I know, and I know, and I know that it's going to take place. Because when they meet Jesus, they have to change. When they meet the power of Christ, they have to change. And that's what we're going to do as a church. We're going to introduce this city to Jesus. We're going to wake this city up. We're going to reach the lost. We're going to go out into the highways and the byways and bring them in, and we're going to take church to them. Those salvations don't have to take place in this room. They need to take place in your classrooms, at your work, in your neighborhoods, in the bars. I'm going to send a couple of you. We're going to reach and impact the city. In Acts chapter 9, the Bible records Paul's salvation, the day that Paul met Jesus, and what a day it was. But his stories are a lot different than our stories, church, because Paul was literally walking down the road and Jesus literally fell out of the sky and introduced himself. You can go home and read it. Hello, Paul. My name is, by the way, I came to save you. Don't leave me hanging. And his life was radically changed in that moment. And let me go back and say his life, or the direction of his life, was radically changed. Because I want to make note that Paul wasn't radically, automatically changed in that moment. As we expect, the direction of his life was radically changed. You understand what I'm saying? It wasn't Paul gave his heart to Christ and abracadabra, he was a brand new Bible-believing, perfect, obeying, righteous Christian. He started the process of becoming like Christ as he followed Christ step by step. As he obeyed Christ, he became like Christ. And that's the only way it works in Christianity. We meet Jesus and we start to follow him. And when we start to follow him, we start to want to change. We start to grow. Things start to happen. We don't want to do what we used to do. We don't want to partake in some of the things we used to partake in. We don't use some of the same language. We don't do some of the things that we used to do. And we start doing new things for the glory of God. That brings honor to the name of Christ. And it gives credibility to the church, to Christianity, and ultimately to Christ. Because we're a living example, the Bible says. And we're not always perfect. We don't have to be. But we serve a perfect Savior. And through Him, we're perfected day after day after day. And that's the best thing I've heard all day. God is good. Far too often in the church and in Christianity, especially for those that have been serving Christ for a long time and are kind of more involved in religion instead of Christianity, we expect overnight extreme makeovers when it comes to new converts or new Christians. We expect them to stop doing what they were doing their whole lives in one day. That's not the way it works. It's not going to happen like that. We have to be patient with people like Christ is patient with us. And one by one, and step by step, and day by day, they become more and more and more like Christ as they follow Christ. It's not an overnight thing. It's a daily process. Point number three, becoming is a step-by-step process. I said becoming is a step-by-step process. We all have probably said we want our babies to stay babies, right? But we really don't, do we? We want to hold on to that memory, but we want them to grow up and experience life for themselves, right? We don't want them to stay babies. We want them to grow up and experience life, take part in life. We celebrate and we applaud each stage of growth that they go through in life, don't we? When they start to mumble as a baby and we pretend they said mom or dad, we celebrate, right? Why? Because they're growing. When they take their first steps, we celebrate. Why? Because they're growing. Their first day of school comes, we cry, but we celebrate. Why? They're growing up. When they become teenagers, we mourn. No, we celebrate. Why?
Because they're growing.
And because in just a few years, they're moving out. Right? We celebrate when we survive the teenage years. We celebrate when they get married. We celebrate when they have a baby of their own. We celebrate each stage of life they go through. And I believe if we're following Christ, we're continually, constantly growing up in Christ. And we're constantly going up in Christ. From stage to stage, from level to level. Just like we experience physical growth, we should experience spiritual growth. We shouldn't stay the same. I'm not the person or the Christian I was when I was 8 years old, believe it or not. I've grew a little. And the more I follow Christ, the more I become like Christ. I'm growing up in Christ. But here's the problem in Christianity in America today. Many people have become Christians. Is that a problem? It's when they don't become like Christ. See, that's the problem. Many of us have become, but we stopped becoming. But see, Christ is right there on the finish line, as Paul says, and He's coaching you. He's encouraging you. He's preaching, keep going. Take a step, move, grow. Keep moving. Keep growing. Keep climbing. Step it up. As a baby, we were taught to eat. We started off with milk from a bottle or from somewhere else. You can use your own imagination. We moved to oatmeal, and then we moved to solid food. We were taught how to be mobile. We started off scooting. You've seen those videos? They look so weird. They're scooting. And then we start to crawl. We take some steps, and then eventually we learn to run. And then we learn how to use the potty, but I'm not going to go there. But as we grow up, we learn to do these things at a different level. Some of the things we used to do as baby Christians, we still do. We still pray, right? We still read our Bibles. But it should be done at a different level, Christian. It should be done at a higher level. It's no longer, lay me down to sleep. I pray the Lord my soul to keep. It's, Father, here I am. Here's my hands. Here's my life. Here I am. Send me. Use me. Teach me. Mold me, God. Do something with this life. It's no longer reading the Bible for knowledge. It's moved to application. It's no longer just coming to church to be served. It's becoming the church to serve. It's no longer, Pastor, feed me. It's me feeding myself and me feeding others. It's growing up in Christ. It's becoming. Grow up, Christian. See, the Bible says in Hebrews chapter 5 in a roundabout way, grow up. It's time to grow up. As we follow Christ, we grow. And as we grow, we change. There's some things that we don't necessarily do anymore. There's some things that we want to do, but out of obedience to Christ and His Word, we choose not to do. We overcome it. Right? There's some things that we have to do at a higher level. We have to get deeper. Because it's becoming like Christ. It's growing. In Acts chapter 9, the Bible records Paul's salvation, the day that he met Jesus. What a day that was. But then 26 years later, Paul recorded Philippians chapter 3, the verses that we opened with. Remember those? And I want to go back and I want to read that. Read those scriptures with that in mind. 26 years after Paul gave his heart and his life to Christ, he penned Philippians chapter 3, verse 10. And what did he say? I want to know Christ. We're talking about 26 years after serving Christ, Paul is still declaring, I want to know you, Jesus. And I want to know you more. Didn't he know Christ? 26 years? Look at everything he did. But he's still declaring, I want to know you more and more and more. I want to know the power of your resurrection and participate in your sufferings, becoming like you, Christ. And so somehow attaining to the resurrection from the dead, not that I have already obtained all of this or have already become. He said, I haven't become yet. But what does he do? He presses on. Everyone say, press on. Verse 13. Brothers and sisters, that I do not consider myself having attained or taken hold of it. But one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and straining toward what is ahead. I press on. So I'm not going to stay at this. I'm not going to stay at salvation. But I'm going to move up. I'm going to climb. I'm going to move forward. Verse 14. You can't say you've ever seen a pastor do that. That's taking a sermon to a whole different level. But he says in verse 14, I press on toward the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. So I got to keep going to touch the top, right? I think I'll stop there. So think about this, church. 26 years after following Christ faithfully. 26 years after preaching His Word faithfully. 26 years after Paul met Jesus, he said, I want to know you. I want to know you more. Is that our declaration? Every head bowed, every eye closed. Is that your declaration today? Christ, I want to know you. See, Paul said, there's another level for me to get to. I haven't attained it all. I have to keep climbing. I have to keep moving. I have to keep growing. I have to keep becoming more and more like Christ. He said, I press on. The mark of the high calling in Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. King David prayed a prayer in Psalms 139, verse 23. He says, search my heart, God. Search my heart. And if I'm not doing what I need to be doing, God, show me. God, if I need to be doing something else, show me. And God, if I need to stop doing this, what I'm doing, show me. I want to challenge each and every one of you in here today to commit to praying this prayer all week long. God, search our hearts. If we're doing something we shouldn't be doing, show us. God, if there's something we need to do, show us. But let me warn you, if you pray that prayer, if you commit to praying that all week, it might change your life forever. Because God might ask you to start doing something new. Or God might ask you to stop doing something you're doing. So right now, let us pray. God, search our hearts. Is there something I need to be doing, God? Is there something I just need to stop doing, God? And God, I pray that as we grow up in Christ, as we continue to become more and more like You, God, I pray that understand that it's a daily process. God, I pray for those that are here today that don't know You. God, I pray that before we leave this place, that we would give our hearts and our lives to You and become like Christ as we continue or start to follow Christ. So right now, if everyone could stand to their feet, I want to speak just a moment to those of you that walked in today that say, I don't know this Jesus. And to those of you that say, I stepped away Jesus. I stopped following him a long time ago. I stopped becoming. We're going to go into a song, and Isaac's going to lead you into this song, but then he's going to lead you into a commitment to give your heart, your life to Christ today. And I want to speak to those of you Christians who have been faithfully serving God. You've served Him for 26 years, but maybe you stopped becoming. Maybe you've gotten comfortable. I just want you to search your heart today and ask God, is there a way that I could become more like You? Is there a step that I need to take, God? Is there a step I should take? And as we go into this last song, just continue to speak to God and allow God to search your heart.